John chapter 2. I want to just begin a very short series of messages tonight on the Antichrist. I've previously announced this. We are doing a series of studies on Sunday night about prophecy. And again, I've been trying to stress that this is more from a doctrinal standpoint than it is from a sensational standpoint. I'm not trying to sensationalize anybody or wow anybody. It's more of a line upon line teaching on prophecy, and we come up to the subject of the Antichrist today, and that word is used just once in the Bible to describe him, although the word is found four times. Once it describes a certain person that will be coming on the earth, and that's in 1 John 2 and verse 18. John is writing to the church, probably at Jerusalem, and says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." And so he mentions the last time here twice, and keep in mind when he's writing this, it's about 95 AD. So we're going back here about 1912 years ago. This preacher is writing, and he says, "It is the last time." And that was 1912 years ago or so, approximately. And so it has always been the last time since Christ ascended into heaven. And the doctrine of the Antichrist was known back then. The church knew about it. They were on the lookout. "Little children, it is the last time. Now listen. And as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come." Now, what was he referring to? We don't know. It may be to the book of 2 Thessalonians that had been written 25 years earlier than this, where Paul in chapter 2 spelled out about the Antichrist, which we'll get to here in just a few minutes. The Antichrist isn't mentioned in many books in the Bible. He's mentioned in the book of Daniel and the book of 2 Thessalonians and right here in 1 John and the book of Revelation. And then there's some not obscure mentions of him, but in the Gospels a couple times Jesus spoke of an event called the Abomination of Desolation, which involves the Antichrist. So it's not all through the Bible, but since the beginning of the church age, they knew about this diabolical human being that was going to walk this earth someday called the Antichrist. Now, he is going to be the worst person that ever walked the earth. He's not going to appear that way. He's going to be very deceitful. But he's going to be the worst person, almost like Satan incarnate in a human being. He's going to be so diabolical, and he's going to bring about so much bloodshed. And, you know, when we think of some people that have walked this earth before, maybe like an Adolf Hitler or a Joseph Stalin or a Pol Pot or Mao Zedong or someone like that, we wonder, how can any human being possibly get worse than them? But there will be one. And his name, in this verse at least, is called the Antichrist. We'll see a couple other names given for him. And so I want to just begin a series here and talk about the Antichrist. What does the word Antichrist mean? When will he appear? Where will he come from? What countries will he come from? What will he do when he's on the earth? And how will it all end? These are just some of the questions I want to bring to you from the scriptures, and I'll only get through a couple of them today. But first of all, I want to discuss, what is the Antichrist? What does that word Antichrist mean? You notice there's a prefix to the word Christ, and that's anti. And the word anti, if you'll study that out, it has two different definitions. It means anti can mean an adversary, or it can mean someone in the place of, as an imposter. And I believe both of those would apply to this person that may be alive on earth today, may be known today, we don't know. I mean, if the rapture should take place tonight, then the next thing on God's prophetic timetable, according to Revelation 6 and verses 1 and 2, would be the beginning of the, quote, ride, end quote, of the white horse in Revelation 6, which is the Antichrist. So he would be, you know, ready to be a world leader today. We will not know who he is, and I believe I'll show you that by the end of our study tonight. As believers, I don't believe we're ever going to know the revelation of him. I believe we're going to be taken out before that time. But the word anti means an adversary, someone who is against Christ. And it also means an imposter, one who is in the place of Christ. We're going to see in a moment here in 2 Thessalonians that he demands the worship of the whole world when he sits in the temple in Jerusalem and says that he is God. Now, don't be disturbing anyone near you tonight. Let's listen to the word. He is going to be an imposter. He is going to demand that people worship him. So the word Antichrist, if you're taking notes, be sure you put that down. It has two definitions, an adversary, he is against Christ, and an imposter, he is in the place of Christ. People will look up to him as God rather than the Lord. Now, notice also the word Antichrist is used in a couple other scriptures, not referring to the Antichrist, but to what an Antichrist is. There are more than just one. There is one the Antichrist, but it says in our verse there's many Antichrists. Chapter 2, verse 18, 1 John. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. There are many already in the world who are adversaries or opposed to Christ or imposters pretending that they are the truth, that they are the ones that should be worshipped, whereby we know it is the last time. In other words, Satan has always had his counterfeits. Since Christ died and rose again, he's always had his counterfeits. Every generation, every century, there have been counterfeits who have tried to rob Christ of worship and get it on themselves. Look at verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Well, that means, it makes it a lot clearer right here. There's a lot of antichrists. Any religion, for instance, that denies that Jesus is the Christ, the Bible says is antichrist. It's against Christ. For instance, the Muslim religion. If you talk to any Muslim you meet, they will tell you that Christ is just simply a great prophet. That's all he is. They will deny, as it says here in verse 22, that Jesus is the Christ. If you try to pin him down, you believe he's the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. They will say no. Therefore, they fit the description biblically of being an Antichrist. Buddhists, Hindus, and so on and so forth. All the major religions and the minor religions of the world, any that deny that Jesus is the Christ, is Antichrist in the place of Christ, one that is taking worship away from the Lord. Verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Now not only are there many antichrists in the world, and there always have been since John's day, but there is also a spirit, a prevailing spirit of antichrist in the world. Look at chapter 4 and verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Now what do we mean by the spirit of Antichrist? Well, if you take, for instance, our history in America, America has gone from being a Christian country to a unchristian country to a anti-Christian country. And you know that spirit prevails in our country today, an anti-Christian spirit. I mean, just little things like no nativity scenes, no saying under God and the pledge and these movements, get the Bible out of the school, get prayer out of the school, and there's always that Christmas fight about saying things like happy or Merry Christmas. It might offend somebody. That's an anti-Christian spirit. Now, John said it was in his day, too. But we do see a great anti-Christian spirit propagated by Hollywood, by many in politics, by many, I hate to say it, even in religion. But there is a spirit that prevails. Look at 2 John chapter 1 and verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So those are the four verses where the word antichrist appears in the Bible. And I want you to notice that it all centers around the doctrine of the deity of Christ. That's the rock upon which the church is built. One time Jesus asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? And they said this, some think you're Jeremiah, some think you're one of the prophets, some think you're John the Baptist, come back from them, but who do you say? And Peter responded and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. To which Jesus responded, that he was right. He said, blessed art thou, Peter. He says, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And he wasn't talking about Peter. In fact, if you read that verse over there in Matthew 16, 18, the word Peter comes from a Greek word petros, which means a stone. He said, thou art Petros, and upon this Petra I will build my church, this massive rock. And it wasn't Peter, it was the declaration of Peter that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And here we've seen three verses now that says if anybody, doesn't matter who it is. Now, we always think of Christ deniers as who? Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, these puny little cults. No, it's these major religions that deny that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. They're antichrist. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Turn back to 1 Timothy 3:16. Here's a verse all of us need to know, and we really ought to memorize this doctrine. It says in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. You see, Jesus is God. All right? God was manifest in the flesh. That's what the whole battle is about, the deity of Christ and Satan trying to get as many human beings as he can, by as many methods as he can, by as many religions as he can, to deny it and refuse to bow the knee to Christ. That's what the spirit of Antichrist is. Jesus Christ is Lord. And I got news for the devil and all of his demons. Someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And it would do us good if we, in our faith in the resurrected Savior, would be like Thomas, who said in John chapter 20 and verse 28, my Lord and my God, when he saw Christ. So know these verses about the deity of Christ. Another one that I think is excellent is Acts 20 and verse 28. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Talks about God's blood right there being the cost for the purchase of the church. And so know the doctrine of the deity of Christ, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's not just some great prophet or some martyr. He was God incarnate in the flesh. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. It's being interpreted as what? God with us. God with us. It says in Isaiah 9, verse 6, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He said to Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Have I been so long with you, Philip? Jesus Christ is Lord, and the spirit of Antichrist is any method, any philosophy, any religion Satan can come up with that will get people to deny the deity. It's all about whether or not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now, that's the spirit of Antichrist, and that's a setup. I wanted to define the word Antichrist for you. Now, go with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want to just show you some verses here, because I don't want you to misunderstand what I just said. It's not just Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims and so on who deny Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. It's a lot of so-called Christian ministers. And we were warned about this. Notice here in 2 Corinthians, just because a man calls himself a pastor or a woman, calls himself a pastor or a priest today, and just because they call themselves a Baptist or a Protestant or a Catholic today, it doesn't mean they believe in Christ or in his deity. And notice we were warned about this in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. Well, let's start at verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Notice that. Who do they try to represent? According to the verse. Anyone see it? Christ. Transforming themselves. What are they? They're false prophets. False apostles. Deceitful workers. But they transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now the next verse says, don't be surprised about this. The actual words are, and no marvel. I mean, don't sit there with your eyes wide open, your mouth wide open, and say, you got to be kidding me. You mean a lot of these good reverends in town are of the devil? No, we're not supposed to be shocked. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He's not an angel of light, he's darkness. But he transforms himself. He is an imposter, one who tries to portray himself as Christ, one who tries to portray himself as light. Now notice verse 15, therefore it is no great thing, or if I could paraphrase this, Paul saying, it's no surprise. Therefore it's no great thing, verse 15, if the devil's ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So it's no great thing. Don't be shocked if the devil takes a whole bunch of people, men and women, and calls them Christian ministers. You know, 87%, for instance, of Methodist ministers in America deny the reality of hell. Say, don't exist. That's 87% of the Methodist ministers in this country. I was in a situation recently where I heard a Methodist minister. And three times, you know, as he spoke at a funeral, three times he talked about the deceased and the person's infant baptism, which made them a child of God. Infant baptism has never made anyone a child of God. There's no such thing as infant baptism. The word baptized means to immerse. I've never seen anyone take a baby and kaplunk, kaplunk, bring it up out of water. Pouring a little water on their head, sprinkling a little water, that's not baptism. Baptism means immersion. And everybody that was in that meeting that day was told by a minister of Satan a false way to go to heaven. And yet these people are some of the friendliest, most well-respected, well-paid people in towns. Best dressed, nicest people you can imagine. And the Bible says right here, don't marvel at this, folks. This is Antichrist. See, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, people are going to say, there's the Antichrist. Any religion, no matter how sincere, that denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and that he's the only way, is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, there was a guy, and I'll read this for you, when he thought about this person, it troubled him. We'll get to Daniel eventually, but let me read one verse for now, and we'll get back here in a couple of weeks. He just had this big vision in Daniel chapter 7 of the Antichrist, which we'll study, and it ends this way. It says in verse 28, hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart. See, when Daniel was given the revelation by the Holy Spirit about the Antichrist, it says, my cogitations much troubled me. Boy, this really troubled me. My countenance changed in me. It affected him. It affected him. And you know what ought to affect us too? It ought to affect us that most of these reverends walking around our towns are Antichrists with a small a. Leading people to hell. Leading people to destruction. Telling them other ways to heaven, so to speak, besides the one narrow way, which is Christ Jesus. Denying the deity of Jesus Christ. Denying the Trinity. Denying the Bible as the verbally inspired Word of God. Saying baptism, infant baptism is the way, church is the way, sacraments are the way, and so on. No, Christ is the way. Christ alone. So what is an antichrist? We just tried to define that for you. I hope we made it clear. Somebody who is an imposter. Someone who is an imposter. I got a letter today inviting me to the ecumenical ministers meeting coming up here in Eden. I'm not going. Wrote them guys a bunch of times already. Says, I'm not coming to your meeting. I had one of them in my office one time from the United Church of Christ in town. I asked them one question. I said, sir, do you believe the Bible is the word of God, verbally inspired, word for word? He got real quiet, hemmed and hawed and everything, and quietly left. I'm not going to go have fellowship with him. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, expose them. If it troubled Daniel, it ought to trouble us too. I get troubled about this. People have been being led by deceivers, posing themselves as Christian ministers. And it's not something new. It's not something new at all. Back, way back in Paul's day, he said to the church at Ephesus, he said in Acts 20 and verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. He said, look, as soon as I leave, you're going to have grievous wolves that are going to enter in here and try to mess up the flock. Jesus talked about these people, and he made it clear, and I believe it was in Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. And so, the Lord didn't want us to be ignorant around it. He wanted us to judge their fruit and know them. They might look like sheep on the outside, but on the inside they're ravening wolves. This ought not to shock us tonight. This is everywhere. False prophets. Now, when will he come? That's our second question. We'll just take a few moments here tonight for this for a bit. Who is the Antichrist? What is an Antichrist? I've tried to define that. When will he come? When will he come? We'll go to 2 Thessalonians. And to me, this is the greatest text in all the Bible that teaches us about the Antichrist. And this was written about 25 years before John said, as you have heard, that Antichrist should come. And so the Apostle Paul was given by the Holy Ghost words about the Antichrist, and it spread all through the body of Christ so that John would later say, you've heard Antichrist should come. Even now, are there many Antichrists? Now, as I've mentioned before, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians are unique books in the New Testament. Their theme is the second coming of Christ. You can look in all five chapters of 1 Thessalonians and all three chapters of 2 Thessalonians. You'll find verses in every chapter about the second coming of Christ. Now, after the first book was written, historians tell us that it was just a couple months later and the second book of Thessalonica was written because of the response to the first book. The response to the first five chapters of 1 Thessalonians was that the church at Thessalonica misunderstood what Paul was saying, and they began to sell off everything they had, and they had an idea that the Lord's return was imminent, that it would be any day, any week then. And so the second book was written to correct that. And it begins in chapter 2 and verse 1 by saying this, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word," now notice this phrase, "nor by letter as from us." That's a reference back to 1 Thessalonians. He says, you read that and you got troubled and you got shaken in mind. And notice the last phrase in verse 2, "as that the day of Christ is at hand." Basically, he's saying this basically, look, I didn't mean for you to get the idea like he was going to come any day or any week now. There's a few events here that have got to take place and precursors leading up to some end time events. And he begins to straighten that out in chapter 2 by saying this in verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come." Now notice the first sign, "except there come a falling away first." And as I've mentioned, that phrase "falling away" comes from one Greek word, apostasia, from which we get the word apostasy. So we see there must be a falling away first, and then the next statement in verse 3 says, "and that man of sin be revealed." Now we get to the Antichrist. So he's saying before the Antichrist is revealed to the world, there has to be some things, and one is a great apostasy on earth. And I believe as you compare that to Revelations 2 and 3, where it describes seven churches describing the 2,000 years of the church age, and the churches seem to be in the order of the characteristics of the church before Christ comes. The last one you get to is the Laodicean church. And the Laodicean church is the last church on earth before Christ takes us out in the rapture, and boy, is it a mess. It is the worst of the seven churches described. It's filled with worldliness. It's filled with people who think they're rich, but they're really poor. It's filled with believers who are blind, and they're living in sin, and they're living in the flesh. And boy, you know, I think I'm old enough to have seen the ushering in of the Laodicean age in my life. See, I remember a time when the church was not like it is today, where people didn't just rush out and a church as soon as it was over and just live in sin and watch all kinds of filth, movies and television and music and magazines and so on and so forth, and where we didn't have these huge so-called Christian rock concerts and all of this theology and the false doctrines that have come in, and the church is a mess today. Now, you know, I don't know what the Lord would think if he wrote about our church. I know that our church in some ways, I think, are trying harder than most churches to try to promote righteous and holy living and soul winning and missions and things like that. And I think we ought to stay on track for those things. But folks, let's admit it. Most of us here tolerate in our eyes and our ears and our homes things that believers 20 or 30 years ago would have been disgusted to look at or to think about. And we have no effect on us. Great apostasy, great falling away. And it says, that's got to happen before that man of sin be revealed. Now notice he's got some names here. And he's called in verse 3, that man of sin. He's called the son of perdition. In verse 8, he's called that wicked with a capital W. So notice that this diabolical human, this character, is going to be worse than anyone who's ever come on earth. And he's going to oppose the Lord and exalt himself in verse 4. That fits both definitions of the word Antichrist. Oppose, that's adversary. Exalt himself, that's imposter. And it tells us in this text exactly when he'll come, and I'll just have to reveal that to you next time because our time is coming up. But going back to verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Do you remember last week's lesson? Let me just refresh a verse to you. Just a couple pages away towards the back of your Bible, 1 Timothy 4:1. Remember I taught on this last week? It says in verse 1 of chapter 4, 1 Timothy, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seduction. Boy, have you ever seen any more seduction? Everything in today is seduction. Everything. Today, giving heed to seduction, seducing spirits, and doctrines, teachings of devils that are not based upon the Bible. And there's so much biblical ignorance and biblical illiteracy today that many times even believers don't know, is that true or not or what? And so on. We need to be in the Bible, folks. Boy, if there's ever a time we need to be Bible students, it's today when the Bible says the time will come when they're going to depart from the faith. It also says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. They'll look for teachers that will satisfy their own lusts, this health and wealth and prosperity gospel that sounds so good. Yeah, health and wealth and prosperity. It's all in the atonement and all that other nonsense they're teaching. This is something we ought to fear tonight. We ought to say, man, I don't want this. Three times it talks about an apostasy. Here in our text, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, 1 Timothy 4:1, 2 Timothy 4:3, three times it talks about an apostasy in the latter times where there'd be a great falling away from faith and doctrine. Doctrine is supposed to affect our beliefs and our behavior. And boy, you want to clear out a church in a hurry, just start preaching on behavior. Your church is going to shrink to about nothing. The Bible tells us how we ought to behave. Start telling ladies how they ought to behave. See what happens nowadays. Tell them how they ought to dress. Tell them they ought to stay home and raise their kids. See what happens. Tell men they're supposed to be leaders, supposed to love their wives, supposed to work and be men of prayer and men of the word. See what happens. Right in church, you have unbelievable fights and opposition. Right in the church. Who is the Antichrist? He's one who will come as an adversary and an imposter. That was number one. When will he come? Well, we're going to see. He's going to come soon. But he's going to come after there's a great falling away, after there's a great apostasy among believers on the earth. And I'll give you some other things next time on when he is going to come. And then hopefully next week we'll also get into where is he going to come from. The Bible is very clear on where he's going to come from. Where he's going to come from. And boy, that area of the world is on the rise today. America's on the fall, but that area of the world is on the rise today. A coming superpower. And we see it right in front of our eyes. All right, let's pray. Our Father,